Welcome to this special edition series of Penta Communications' Top Growth Podcast, Emerging Stronger. Produced to help leaders gain valuable insight into strategies to help them lead their organizations more effectively through the coronavirus epidemic, our host, Deborah Penta, interviews several leading experts in various disciplines, bringing together a well-rounded, all-star lineup on subjects such as positive thinking, wellness, business growth, and how to sell out of an economic downturn.
Joining us today is a lifelong Marlborough, Massachusetts resident, a small business owner, and a very strong manager, Mayor Arthur Vigent. Arthur has been a dynamic leader for the city of Marlborough. He is the longest standing mayor, and he is in his fifth term. During his tenure, he has overseen a great public school system, improved city services. He has helped to invest in Marlborough's future and has also helped to bring thousands of new jobs to the city. The city of Marlborough is a leader in economic growth for the Metro West and Central Massachusetts region. And under the mayor's leadership, thousands of new jobs have returned to Marlborough. And it has become a much sought-after destination for advanced manufacturing, as well as the high-tech and life sciences and professional services sector. And Arthur, it is truly a pleasure to welcome you to our show today.
Deb, it's great to talk to you again. Obviously, these are crazy times, but we still have to manage and get through it.
Yes, and I've been talking with various city managers and municipal officials over the past couple of months, and of course, no one would have ever anticipated that the nation would be going through this unprecedented crisis right now. Certainly none of us have ever seen anything like it in our lifetimes. And we know that it's been a challenge for everyone. It's been a challenge for just the communities, for people. It's been a challenge for businesses. And it's been incredibly challenging for municipal leaders and government officials as they, as you all navigate through this crisis in uncharted waters. How is Marlborough doing, and how are you responding to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Now, things have been really good. Everyone's been working together. We've changed a lot of, obviously, hours to have staggered shifts. We've locked down all of the city buildings to outside access, but the employees still come to work every day, and we're here to answer the phone. We put drop boxes both in the front and the back of Main Street so people can get us requests for permits or drop off one of their checks for a bill, or whether it be a water bill or a sewer bill. We're just trying to keep everyone as safe as possible, but still getting the business of the city done every day. You know, police and fire have been fantastic through this. Our health department, John Garside, our health agent, stepped up to the plate, working with the nurses from the schools. We've asked them to come down since school is closed and help out down here. All the teachers are, teaching the kids virtually these days, and our cafeteria staff up at the schools, we put in a food program way back at the beginning, and we've delivered over 75,000 meals to our students throughout the city. So it's just been everyone's really worked together, and it's made my life a lot easier.
That's really great, and there's a lot of that community-spirited collaboration, people working together, and it sounds like you have a really great leadership team in the city of Marlborough working together to do as best as you can to make business as usual, although in a different way. What is a day in the life for you right now, Arthur? I mean, obviously you've had your normal responsibilities, and how has that changed now with the pandemic? What are you doing differently every day? What does a typical day look like for you, and what has changed?
Well, I still start with my drive around the city every morning for half hour, an hour, just to see what is going on out there. And it's been obviously been very, very quiet. People are starting to, you see a little more activity now, but for the most part, up until this past week, it's been really quiet. Coming into the office, I've been coming in every day. There's anywhere from 2 to 4 conference calls on a regular basis, trying to just talk to other communities, state leaders. I'm on a call with the hospital every day, just to find, you know, keep your ear to the public and find out what's going on out there. Try to read as much as you can about the issues and how we're going to get through this. Obviously, finances are going to be a huge issue. Opening the community back up, you know, once that starts in the next few weeks, hopefully, that's going to be a little bit different. But at this point, I'm locked into my, between my computer and my phone. I'm on it almost all day long now.
Yeah. And so from a financial perspective, you know, the cities and towns are going to be hit pretty hard from a budget standpoint. What do you see with respect to that? Do you have any ideas to what the impact is going to be on cities and towns with respect to the budgets now that everyone is starting to revise their budgets that they have set so that they can be prepared to submit new budgets for approval?
Yeah, we actually started the process before all this hit, and we kind of continued down that road. As far as 2020 budgets going, we're probably going to be in okay shape. We put a freeze on everything about a month or so ago just to make sure we would have money in the coffers to make through the rest of the year without using any of our stabilization or free cash money. And I think we're going to be able to pull that off. For our budget for next year, unlike many communities, I work with the council president, Councilor Ossing, and the finance chair, John Irish, my finance team here. And we agreed that we're going to move forward with the budget process. And that's because of the relationship I have with them down there in the council. That as soon as it's approved, we're going to freeze it and we're going to make adjustments as we move forward. It's probably going to be late June or July before we finally get some numbers from the state. The state legislature hasn't even figured out how they're going to move forward with their budget process yet. So I'd rather have something in place that we can work with rather than start the whole process at that time. And like I said, working with President Ossing and John Irish, it just makes life a lot easier to have something in place that we can work with. So it's down at the council, and they'll be dealing with the budget on Monday night.
That's great. Arthur, what has been the most challenging thing that you're dealing with right now from a leadership perspective? If you had to pick your top number one most challenging situation.
I would say the biggest thing is, as you mentioned, I'm a CPA. I've been practicing now for, I don't know, 35 years, and everyone always talks about tax season. Well, I know when tax season starts, and I know when tax season ends. When April 15th comes on a usual basis, it's over. I mean, there's plenty of work to do after that, but the crazy time is over. There's no end. There's just, we don't know if it's going to be next week or next month. We're hoping sooner rather than later. Everyone's starting to get a little antsy. The residents of the city are getting antsy. The employees, they're trying to work from home. A lot of them are doing split shifts between working here and working at home. So it's really, it's kind of like everything is up in the air and how long does it go? So it's really the unknown that's probably the most difficult thing to get through the day.
Right. It's the uncertainty of the situation and not knowing when it's going to end. And then, of course, if we get to a point where we have more parameters around that, and we know that the economy is going to be reopened in, say, June, or, you know, if that were to happen, then everyone's concerned about, is it going to come back? Are we going to have to deal with this again? And then what does that look like? So the uncertainty of the situation can certainly make it very difficult to make decisions and to lead during this time. How many cases are there in Marlboro? Are you reporting your numbers to the state?
Yeah, I mean, John Garside's really on top of it. But as of yesterday, we had 330 total cases. Of that, 131 have already recovered. So we're dealing with just under 200 active cases. And we have 8 of our residents that have passed away. And all of them had underlying conditions. So at least we're seeing that. It's never a good thing when someone passes, but there were other conditions that brought into that for all of them. So the staff that John has calls the cases on a regular basis to see how they're doing. Are they, you know, staying in quarantine? Are they at the hospital? We have a few that are at the hospital. The hospital's been great in being prepared for any drastic increases that we see. As I stated, I'm on the call with them every day. Just, it's almost like a comforting call because it's been pretty consistent. I think we're on the plateau in this area. We saw a big increase the last few days because the National Guard was in testing some of our nursing homes, and that kicked some of our cases up. So, you know, it's just dealing with that on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Well, my condolences to all the families that have lost members of their families through this in the city of Marlboro. And I hope that that you do not see increased cases over the next couple of weeks, and that we start seeing that trend to go down and decrease. What is the city doing to communicate to its residential community and its business community right now? Have you put together a task force, or is there like a communication system that's in place for messaging on a regular basis? What does that look like?
We've done a few things. First of all, my emergency team, we have a conference call every other day at this point, just to make sure everything is still in place. We have enough PPEs to get through what we need to get through. We haven't seen anything abnormal compared to whatever everything else that's going on out there. And that's been working really, really well. We have a daily update on our website, and we put it on Facebook every day on, you know, things that are changing in the city and some of the health issues. There's quite a bit of information on there that people can link to if they just come right on the front page of our website. So that's done on a daily basis. Every other week to keep them informed as to what's going on. That goes out to all our residents. We've just tried to provide as much information. We've done a couple of robocalls for different reasons, but we're just trying to pump the information out as much as we can.
Right, exactly. And, you know, up until this crisis hit, of course, Marlboro was one of those communities in the Commonwealth that was really doing a phenomenal job with its economic development and its growth in the commercial sector, and nurturing those companies and organizations that were in your community. What is happening now with respect to that? Is your economic development arm of the city doing anything to reach out to the businesses? What are you seeing right now, just from a economic development standpoint and in dealing with the business community?
Actually, Meredith Harris over the MEDC and Rogslocker down at the regional chamber have gotten together and a webcast for some information on the PPP program and some other programs for our small business community. We've also extended the real estate taxes for all our residents and the business community. And along with that is the personal property tax. So we extended it out from May 1st to June 1st. We also did it with the water and sewer bills to try to help our residents and all our companies that are out there, because, you know, some of them are qualifying for some of this aid and some of them are not. So we're making sure that we're going to work with them. We've readjusted some payments that they were making for other reasons to the community to try to, you know, make sure that everyone gets through this. And we're really excited to get back to work. Meredith's actually been working with a company that is planning on moving here with about 100 employees. And we're really psyched that we're still talking about things like that, even through this trying time. So.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. And I know Meredith does a fun, she does a great job in her role and certainly in driving her objectives for economic development. So that's really positive to hear that you've got a company that is you're still in negotiations with. And that's really great. Let's talk a little bit about that small business community, you know, the mom and pop restaurants and the downtown area. How is that working? Are you seeing that there are a lot of restaurants that are doing the curbside pickup? Has your Board of Health provided guidelines so that those businesses can stay open and still drive some revenues to their establishments? What does the landscape look like pertaining to the small businesses?
No, some of them, the restaurants have closed, but the majority of them are open, and we've tried to put out as much information as we can as far as menus or specials or anything like that to try to get them as much business as possible down there. The relief from the governor to allow them to actually send wine home with the dinner made things a little bit easier for them to make a few extra dollars. But there's no question about it. They're going to be really in bad shape once we're back. Hopefully most of them have applied for one of the programs that are out there through the CARES Act that they can get some support on. And we're trying to do a small program here in the city also that we'll be rolling out, you know, as this finishes up, what we can put in place to try to help them out a little bit with some, you know, small seed money just to get them through. At this point, it's going to be all about retention and making sure people can make it through, as opposed to trying to attract a lot of new businesses. We want to make sure that the ones we have here, whether they're one-person operations or whether it's a Boston Scientific or Quest or GE, that they're all doing well here. So it's going to be a big effort to try to get some of the people back to work and get their sales back up to where they should be. But hopefully all of us work together on it, and the large majority of them are successful at it.
Yeah, that's incredibly supportive. You know, I've seen a lot of communities where people are rallying to support those small businesses that they want to see come through this crisis. People that patron the restaurants or the bakeries or the small shops. And as the retail landscape is really changing the way that they're required to do business during this pandemic, people really are stepping up to support them because they're customers want them to be thriving when they come back. And I think between the support that the municipalities are giving the business, those that are fortunate enough to benefit from funding from the federal government in whatever capacity that may be, and the patrons of these establishments to support them, it's really amazing to see the community come together and be supportive. And it's something that's happening all throughout the Commonwealth, which we should all be incredibly proud of as citizens of the state. Have you developed in the city of Marlborough any initiatives, any fundraising initiatives, you know, in different communities they have established fundraising where they've put together an opportunity to give grants out to people that really need it? Is Marlborough doing anything like that, or are you partnering with any nonprofit organizations within your community to offer additional assistance to those people in need? I know you mentioned the schools and providing free lunches to the kids, which is terrific. It's a wonderful thing to do. But is there anything else that you're doing either through the nonprofit sector or through any degree of fundraising to help people in need?
Well, a couple things that we have going. Actually, the Mayor's Charity Fund, that the majority of the funding comes from the Mayor's Ball every 2 years, and it was supposed to be happening back in March. 3 days, that's our big fundraiser. We put probably $40,000, $50,000 in the charity fund, and that kind of gets us through a two-year period for helping people out. This year, 2 days before the event, we had to call it off. The great thing is most of the companies that we were working with through that had already paid for tables and made donations, they've decided to leave it in the charity fund rather than be reimbursed for it. So that was a big help. We've had other donations from some of our residents that have stepped to the plate and received a $5,000 donation from one of them. One of the companies just donated $5,000 and had a match from the Fireman's Fund. So they've come through, and you know, we're bringing regular checks up to the food pantry. The city council came through with some money from their charity account, and we matched it up here and brought a $5,000 check up to the food pantry, and there's going to be more to follow on that because they're seeing a larger need. And we've actually brought groceries to some of our seniors that have showed some need, and they called on the senior center and I need some things delivered, and we've taken care of that. So we try to do it within what we have here, and it's worked well so far, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of good charity events coming up. And when we figure out all the programs that the state and the federal government have put in place, there's so many of them at this point, we're trying to sort through them. The one we're working on now is through the Attorney General's office that's going to provide services for our small businesses. So we're working on that one. And we just have a whole breadth of needs that are going to be happening out there in the next few weeks. And we want to make sure we stay on top of that.
That's fantastic. That's really, really wonderful. So Arthur, before we go, what messaging would you like to share with the community, both the residential and the business community, regarding this COVID-19 pandemic and making it through, and just any words of wisdom, advice, or guidance that you can provide to both of those sectors of the public?
No, I don't know about words of wisdom, but I can tell everyone that this is going to pass. We're all in this together, and we can do this. And this isn't a Marlborough thing. It's not a Massachusetts thing. It's not even a national thing. This is a worldwide event that we're all working on together on this. And I think you've seen the cooperation throughout Marlborough and throughout the state and throughout the world on trying to get this behind us, and we don't even know what that means yet. Figuring out what social distancing means moving forward. Those crowded and packed restaurants, you probably won't be seeing those for a while. We don't know what sports events are going to look like. We don't know what school is going to look like come hopefully September. There's just going to be a lot of changes coming up, and we're all going to have to work to make sure we implement those where, you know, we're still getting the same enjoyment we were getting before out of it, but we're going to have to do it a little bit differently. And, you know, I think we, like I said, we've plateaued here in the city. Hopefully the numbers start changing and, you know, in the next few weeks or couple of months, we'll be back at it and we'll be talking about new businesses and events that are coming up and things like that, as opposed to keeping everyone, you know, kind of quarantined in their house, staying safe. You know, like I said, it's just such a different world right now.
Exactly. Well, we really thank you for that. Those are really wonderful words of positivity. And I think people truly need to hear that, that optimistic outlook, which I think is very inspiring and certainly true that things are going to get better. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you. And thank you for taking the time today. Thank you for your leadership. You have been an incredible leader of the city of Marlborough for a very long time now. And your residents and the business community is very lucky to have you there leading in the capacity that you are. And we appreciate all that you do. And for the wonderful shining example that you set as a leader through this really challenging time. So we thank you very much for many, many reasons.
Well, thank you, Deb. Thanks for having me. And I know that Penta Communication does a lot, not only through this thing, but they've done a lot for the community and your volunteer efforts. And I think it's companies and people like you that make a big difference. So thank you for all your efforts.
Thank you, Arthur.